Well, we're sure going to miss the Tramars, and next Sunday will be your last Sunday, is that right? So don't get me crying. So, but make sure you get by, tell them how much you love them, appreciate them, and they'll next Sunday will be their last Sunday here, so I hope that you'll do that. And I'll miss all of them, but I'll miss Miss Tramar singing and Samantha singing, so being in the choir. So anyway, appreciate them. Brother Cox is going to come preach for us tonight. I always want to give an introduction to Brother Cox. Brother Cox is just one of these genuine guys. I appreciate him so much. He heads up our Senior Saints ministry here at the church, and he's a military man. What's that one that you was in? The Marines. It's the little branch, Marine, pastor churches. So very thankful, Brother Cox, to come preach to us tonight.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Yes, we are going to miss that angelic voice of Mrs. Tramar. Wow, fantastic. I'm like Brother Wiggins. Don't even want to think about it. Well, we're glad that you're here tonight. For those of you, like Brother Tim, who lost their air conditioning earlier today. So if you're here in church because this is cooler than your house, thank you for being here today. And I remember the pastor making a comment about the bulletin. I guess my name was in. I'm sorry, Danya. She makes out I didn't read my name in the bulletin. She gets a little frustrated when people don't read the bulletin. Anyway, my name is there. But the pastor mentioned that, you know, that doesn't always mean anything. So if I'm preaching tonight, that doesn't always mean anything. All right. Take your Bible, please, and join with me to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you would, please. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Can you imagine what they did 100 to 150 years ago in Texas Baptist churches, or churches of all kind, without air conditioning? Wow, you remember those old funeral fans? You know, and it had to be hot, I'm sure. Opened all the windows and did everything they could. And in addition to that, I am sure they had a lot of funerals too, because everybody died out because of the heat. If you had weather like this, quite extraordinary. We are so thankful for God's provisions for us all. John chapter 6, if you would please. Before we get into that, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read a familiar passage of Scripture over and over again, like John 6, feeding of the 5,000? And sometimes as you read, you kind of read hurriedly because, hey, I've read that. I'm familiar with that. And I don't have to read in detail. And then one day, like for me on this one, it's like the light turns on. And nowadays, for my age, the light has to turn on a lot, you know. But anyway, one day the light turns on and suddenly, wow, how did that get there? I see something I've never seen before. You know, that to me speaks of the freshness and the newness of the Word of God every time we read it. And you can read it and read it and read it and read it, and it's a blessing to get something fresh and new every time. That is the passage here before us in John chapter 6. It's about the feeding of the 5,000. It is on all four of the Gospels, been preached throughout church history. Amazing miracle of what happened to the thousands that were there. Hopefully tonight it'd be an amazing miracle to us here tonight. John chapter 6. Let me read verse number 1 for you. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Well, let's stop right there. I am so glad, no matter what obstacle comes in our way, Jesus always knows what to do. This was not a problem. This is not a big issue. This was not, he did this to prove Philip. But he knew ahead of time what he was going to do. I love that. When you read that, it should be something you savor in your life. And verse number 7, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. Maybe their grass isn't brown or yellow like our grass is right now. Anyway, set them in place. And so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing may be lost. Therefore they gathered together and filled 12 baskets of the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Like most of Jesus' miracles, there had multiple impacts upon the happenings and the event. For this particular miracle, it was beneficial to the thousands that were there. We know the feeding of the 5,000 men, not mentioning women and children. And then it was also for the disciples. It was for them to learn something, for Philip to test him as well, but for all of the others, for them to understand and grow and learn in their faith. But then thirdly, it's also for us, because there are many, many things we can learn as we read these miracle events from the Word of God. And yet we find here that we have something that God wants to teach us as well. Let's pray and find out what that is. Father in heaven, we're so grateful and thankful that you are so thoughtful through your word. You give us these wonderful stories, stories that we know by heart, stories we can remember, and stories that will just long, long live after we're dead and gone. And yet, Father, they are fresh and anew each and every time. And I pray that that will be that way today, tonight, as we have this wonderful story, the feeding of the 5,000. I pray that you'll speak to us. I pray that your spirit might go throughout and help us to see and understand how you work then and how you work now. And just bless, we pray this evening, that it'll be a challenge to us all. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask and pray. Amen. Much debate, kind of a side note, about the little lad. Some have said, and it could very well be, that this little boy had a lunch of the loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. Could very well be. I've heard other scholars say that maybe he was selling the fish because there was going to be a large group that was gathering there, and maybe he would be able to help his family, maybe his mother who was widowed. It doesn't make any difference, just kind of a side note to kind of let you think about that. Has nothing to do with what I'm going on today. Take your scripture and turn over to Mark chapter 6 as we kind of expand a little bit. Mark chapter 6, the same story. Mark 6, as we get started in the feeding of the 5,000. Mark chapter 6. Look, if you would please, at verse number 40. Mark 6, verse number 40. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven and blessed. What we want to look at today is something that in order to be used by God, we have to be broken to be whole. Broken to be whole. That's the idea. And how do you do that? Well, first of all, he says here he blessed it. He took the loaves of bread and fishes and blessed it. Now, we may do this every day, hopefully, before meal time, in order to kind of, ask God's thankfulness and gratefulness for providing for us. But here, these blessings included 2 different things. Number 1, that he could only bless them once they had been cleaned. He could only use the fish once they had been cleaned. We are told by the pastor that the Sea of Galilee is clean. That could very well be, but I don't think I'd want to eat the fish out of there unless it had been cleaned. And I'm sure Jesus would have made sure of that, and the little boy had that as well. don't misunderstand. At salvation, Jesus takes sinners that are dirty and filthy and drenched and covered in sin. He'll take them all. He asks all of them to come. We sing the invitational song, "Just as I am." He'll take you just as you are. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, He'll take you just as you are. I've known a lot of people that try to clean themselves up first. They try to make themselves presentable before God. That's very beneficial. That's very admirable for them. But Jesus takes us just as we are. Because there's no way we can clean ourselves. Only Jesus can clean us. And by the way, when you're clean, you're made whole. And He makes sure that you're cleansed and fit for the Master's use. So before you can be blessed, you've got to be cleansed. Your sins have got to be forgiven. And we find here to be used. He only uses clean vessels. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5. "And unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." When we're saved and we're born again, we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That sounds a little odd. Little strange for those who are not familiar with the teaching and the doctrine of certainly regeneration and what Jesus is capable of doing. But to be washed by the blood, He gives us robes of righteousness without spot, without wrinkle, to be His own. Before the blessings of God can come, before you can be blessed by the Lord in your life, you must be cleansed. You must be clean before Him. And let's not forget what we tell our kids before they eat. Did you wash your hands before meal? Yeah. Jesus wants us to be clean every day. 1 John 1:9. You confess your sins. He is able and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need a daily cleaning. Every day the Holy Spirit's going to remind you. Every day the Holy Spirit will can bring it to your thinking. Every hour we should be open and receptive to the Holy Spirit of God and His Word that tells us this is not right, this is not good. You need to confess it. You need to go to the Lord. You need to get on your knees. You need to ask God to forgive you. There is a daily cleansing that we need. In order to be used by God today, in order to be used by God any day of your life, you need to be consciously aware of your dirtiness, of your sinfulness, of the things that daily we do as Christians in our lives. I find this, the closer you are with the Lord every day, the more mindful you're going to be of that. I mean, I'm a sinful man, Lord, I'm unfit, I'm unclean. The closer you are, the more you realize how unclean you are. And there's where Jesus can use you and bless you. So before He used the fish, before He used the bread, they had to be clean. They had to be cleansed in order for them to be used by the Lord. And then secondly, I find in verse number 41, it says, "And when he had taken, he can only bless them in His hand." He had to take the fish and the loaves from the young man, from the small lad, and take them. And the Bible says He looked up into heaven. He had to be taken in His hands. Oh, to be used in the hands of our Savior. Wow. The nail-scarred hands of Jesus. What an amazing thing to be taken in His hands in each and every way. And Luke 9:16, "Then took He the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked up into heaven." To be used by the Lord means that we are safe in the nail-scarred hands. You're familiar, John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You're safe, Christian. You're secure. You're forever saved and born again. You'll never ever lose your salvation. What a wonderful thing to be safe in the hands of Jesus, knowing that if I'm going to serve Him and He can use me, I'm going to be safe no matter what I do. I'm secure, and I can live that way with the mindset that I will never ever lose my salvation. I feel so sorry for our brethren who are of another denomination, who feel that they can lose their salvation every day. It must be sad. What joy would they have? Nothing. I mean, they get up every morning and wonder, oh, I don't know if I'm saved today. And then they kind of go throughout and there's no joy. There's no happiness. There's no peace. There's nothing inside of them that can motivate them to serve the Lord because they think I might do something today to lose my salvation. How could you live like that? How could you operate like that as a Christian? Could never be for the Lord, that's for sure. Our names also are written in His hands. Isaiah 49:16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Imagine you are in the hands of Jesus. He is blessing you. He's lifting you up before His Father in heaven. You're in the hands of Jesus, the nail-scarred hands, the ones with your names, my name, written on the palms of His hands. And He's about ready to bless us and use us for the Master's work. Safe and secure. No man can pluck you out of the Savior's hands. I don't know about you, but that should motivate us to do something. I mean, that should get us going. That should get the juices flowing on the inside. The hands that will guide you, that will direct you, that's worked with His stepfather, Joseph, as a carpenter. Imagine what He wants to do with our lives. He'll take our lives as a carpenter and He'll handcraft us. He'll handcraft us with His hands to make us what we ought to be. If you let Him. If you let Him. This is to be whole. This is to be whole the way He wants us to be. We are His workmanship. He wants us to prosper. Listen, Isaiah 53:10. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He wants us to prosper. We indeed are the pleasure of the Lord. There's so much here about being in the hands of our Savior. There's so much where He wants us to succeed. He wants us to do well. He loves us. He cares about us. He loves everything about us. He wants us to prosper. Never doubt or never think He wants us to fail. Oh no, that's not what it's all about. Imagine being used by your Savior. I mean, when you begin focusing on that, hopefully whatever you're going through in life will bring a smile on your face, realizing, hey, that's right. The very Son of God has me in His hands. And my name is written there, right by those nail scars. And He wants me to prosper in His hands. Wow, just put yourself into the hands of Jesus and allow Him to bless you. For Jesus to bless something is to sanctify it. He did raise up the fish and the loaves of bread before God in heaven, and He blessed it. How did that happen? What does that mean? He wants to sanctify it. He wants to dedicate it. He wants to bestow prosperity upon it. It's the goodness upon someone or something to announce. As God the Father did at His baptism, out of heaven, as soon as He came up out of that water, God said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus at that moment in time was blessed. He was anointed for the ministry ahead. And that, my friends, is what it's like to be blessed by God, to be used by God. This is my Son. We are told in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. He is saying here, I'm identifying you as being blessed. I'm identifying you as being dedicated, consecrated for the Master's use. This is what I want to do. In the case of Jesus taking the bread and fish and dedicating it to God to be used, it was to give Him honor. It was to give God glory. To be multiplied among the 5,000, Jesus needs us in His hands. He wants to bless us. We all the time are looking for that blessing, but in order to be blessed, we've got to be willing to be in His hands. Oh, we're there saved and born again. We're there because He has died on the cross for us. But are you willing to be used by the Master? Are you willing to allow Him to use you? Are you willing to allow Him to bless you and dedicate you for the Master's use? Indeed, He wants to do that. Jesus shows us in his hands, cleansed, used before, blessed, dedicated to show goodness, and prayed for by the very Son of God. Indeed, this is how the Lord can use us. Secondly, I find here in Mark chapter 6, look at verse number 41. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked unto heaven and blessed and brake. He broke the loaves as well as the fish. This is the miracle right here, isn't it? This is the heart and core of it. In order to be able to have the 5,000 plus to have this meal, in order for them to be filled to the fill about all that they are eating here, the bread and the fish had to be broken. How could that happen? How can you break the bread and make this miracle happen? They had to be broken. We know of the miracle on the cross, where Jesus' body was broken for us. We know that. Every time we have the Lord's Supper, every time we have communion, we talk about in Matthew as well as in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we talk about the broken body. Take, eat. This is my body. This is my body broken for you. We know that. We understand that. At the cross of Calvary, Jesus' body was broken for us on our behalf. But did you know, before the miracle of the cross, there was a miracle of Jesus being broken before the cross, because he had to empty himself of the fullness of glory. He had to empty himself to be flesh for us. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Here again, you're familiar. Philippians chapter 2, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind, it's a mindset. It's something that we've got to have lodged in our spiritual thinking. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. We learn a doctrine. It's called the doctrine of kenosis, if you want to look at it technically in the Greek, or the self-emptying of Jesus, where he self-emptied himself. He broke himself. He divested himself of the glories and the honors of heaven. What an amazing Bible truth. Where Jesus willingly, to come to this earth, willingly broke himself of all the glories and honor of heaven just to be man for us. He broke himself even before the cross. Jesus, not only in the form of God, but also equal with God. At the same time, he lowered himself. He emptied himself to become flesh and blood. Therefore, he did not make himself of any reputation. He sought not to let everybody know, hey, everybody, I'm God, I'm God, I'm God. He emptied himself. He divested himself of the glories of heaven to come and lie in a manger, leaving the universe of the throne. He had no place to lay his head, according to Matthew 8:20. He had no money to pay taxes. He had to catch a fish in order to get the money that was needed. In his agony at Gethsemane, no one prayed with him. And when he was arrested, his friends forsook him. They fled, and no one defended him. Nobody was there at the trials that Jesus endured. Even Peter was on the outside. He divested himself of all the glory and the honor that was due him. Oh, can you imagine? I'm not really sure. We're not told, and I'm not trying to put into Scripture what's not there. But can you imagine the flesh and blood of Jesus being on trial? I don't know about you, but I think if I had the power that Jesus had, and the slapping, the beating, the mocking, the making fun, the crown of thorns planted on the head, and I had the power to do something like to wipe them out, I'm sure my muscles would be tense and nervous, like I'm about ready to do something. You don't want to be around here when I do this. But it didn't happen to Jesus. He emptied himself. He allowed himself. He permitted himself to go through the agony of the trial, the mockery, the spittle, the abuse on our behalf. He was broken before the cross. He emptied himself on our behalf. At the cross, the soldiers stripped him of his clothes away. They parted his garments, casting lots, and when he died, he had to be put in a borrowed tomb. He had no home, no money, no possessions, no defenders, not even at the tomb. And in the end, when it was all said and done, the only thing he could actually call his own was the cross. The cross! It was the only thing that had his name on it. That is the only thing he could call his own. Can you imagine being the owner of your own means of death? And that's what happened to Jesus. He was broken. He was broken. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He became poor for us, that we might have the riches of heaven. Yes, before the cross and the salvation could become a reality, before God could ever accept his son's sacrifice, before all of that, Jesus had to be broken already. And before, indeed, he had to be used by God of his glory, had to be broken. My friends, before you and I can be used by God, we too need to be broken. Before we can be given out to the multitudes, before we can be blessed, we too have to be broken. Listen, Luke 14:27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Before we could ever be used by God, we've got to be broken. Before God could ever use us, just like Jesus, we have to be broken. You say, what are you talking about? I'm not sure I like this, to be broken. I don't like being broken. I don't like this idea. I've got too much going on. I've got too much of my life to live. I don't want to be broken. That's the problem. We've got so much of our own lives going on. We don't want to be broken for the life of Jesus Christ. To be a Jesus disciple, we must be broken at a cross of our own. Listen, Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The cross was a place to be broken. And daily, it's just not at salvation when you kneel down here. Daily, hour by hour, we've got to be willing to be broken. Broken of what we want to do. Broken of our wishes. Broken of our desires. Broken of our own selves. We have an idea how we ought to live life. We've got an idea what we want to do. We have an idea what we need to do and where we need to go and what we need to buy. However, before we could ever be used by God, we've got to be broken. Or God cannot use us. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny what you want to do. Deny what seems right. Deny the things that seem pleasing. Deny those things that seem to be alluring. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. It wasn't pretty for Jesus dying on that cross. It's not going to be pretty for us to self-crucify us. It's not going to be pretty. We'll claw, we'll scratch, we'll hold on to anything. Don't take me. Because we don't want to go. We don't want to go to the cross. It's ugly. It's unpleasant. It's self-denying. It can even be degrading. I'm sure Jesus hanging on that cross naked, totally degrading. But he stayed on that cross for our salvation. And if we want to be used for Jesus, we too have got to be willing to be humiliated, degraded, broken, if we're going to be whole. And that's the way it is in God's mindset. The only way we can be whole for God is to be broken. Broken. for his honor, his glory. Remember Simon the leper. Remember Mary going into Simon the leper's home in Luke 14. We don't have time. I'm sorry, Mark 14. We don't have time to go there. But she, sitting at the feet of Jesus, had this precious ointment in an alabaster box. And the Bible says that before he, as he was sitting there, she broke the box open to be anointed his feet and anointed his hair in order for that to be used. My friends, you and I are vessels of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have something precious inside of us, God's Holy Spirit. And before the Holy Spirit of God can come out of us, and before we could ever be used, it's got to be broken. Broken! And let that sweet-smelling savor come before the Lord himself. Because you don't want to keep that precious ointment bottled up on the inside. What good? What good is a Christian who keeps to himself and does nothing to be broken? And Jesus said, this woman, what she did this day will long be remembered throughout the centuries. And we're still talking about her today. Why? Because she was willing to break open that wonderful alabaster box for her Savior. Listen, 2 Corinthians 4:6, for the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may be not of us. We too are earthen vessels. But before our vessels can be of any use, we've got to be broken. We've got to be broken. We've got to be broken open in order for the Lord to use us. Some of you have already been broken in life. You've had some tragedies, trials, tribulations, times of suffering. For us, loss of our first daughter, kidney cancer. We go through it all. God uses certain things in our lives to break us. To break us. And then, as God can then use us mightily, the sweet-smelling savor of that perfume just permeates out. And people look and wonder, how did you go through that? How did you go through that? Wouldn't you have gone out of your mind? Wouldn't you have gone crazy? How did you get through all of that? We give all the honor and the glory to God. As a vessel, he broke us open. Some of you have resisted being broken. You're resisting even now. You don't want to be broken. You don't want to be opened up. You don't want to be used. You've got plans. You've got plans. Your plans you think are better than God's plans. Not willing to be broken. That's what happened here. In Jeremiah 18, we hear of the potter and the clay. Making the pottery, it was marred, it was cracked, and therefore broken. And he had to make it all over again to be useful. I'm glad, like the song, he didn't throw the clay away. Picked it up, put it back on the pottery wheel, and guess what? He made it all over again. You have to be broken in order to be used by the Lord. Indeed, Christian, we're not going to be any use to the Master if we're not broken. Our Savior on the cross, before he went to that wooden altar called the cross, he was broken ahead of time for us. And then thirdly, we go back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse number 11. After he had prayed, and we find broken the fish and the bread, it says in verse 11, Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. You want to be used by God. Then, after you're broken, after you've been blessed, then he brought the meal to the multitude. The broken pieces of fish and bread to be used had to be brought for the multitude, or it wouldn't have helped them. All the blessings and all the brokenness involved would be useless, useless, if they were never distributed to the multitudes. Had to be brought to be used, brought to people. Now, maybe you're the kind of a private person. I don't want to be around people what. I don't want to get involved in too many things, and I don't want to volunteer, raise my hand for anything here in the church, and you're just kind of closed into your own little private self. But do you realize the fish would have done no good? The broken pieces of bread would have done no good had they just stayed with the disciples. The only way they were done any good is by being distributed out, brought out. Bring them out, guys. Bring them out. My friends, this is you and I. We have to be brought out. We have to live for the multitudes. It's not about living for ourselves. We're broken to be living for other people. Let Jesus use us in the multitudes. Let Jesus use us to tell sinners about Jesus Christ. Let Jesus help us to be and tell about the bread of life. We can bring ourselves to call and visit. We can have missionaries around the world and give to them, help carry out the Great Commission. We can have even ourselves for other Christians who are spiritually hungry and try to help them, restore them. There's many, many things around here at the church that can be done. It's a matter of being broken and being willing to be brought out for use among the people in the multitude. We can even take a Wednesday night prayer meeting. All the prayers that are on that sheet of paper, all the ones that are mentioned by you, the people of the congregation, and written down. You want to give yourself to the multitude? When Wednesday night is over, call up some of those people on the prayer list. Call them up. Say, I just heard about you. I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Just want you to know your name was mentioned Wednesday night. It brought to my attention about your need. I'm going to pray for you. Talk to them a little bit about it. Let them know you're interested. Let them know that you care. What a great follow-up on a Wednesday night. What a great follow-up for a time of prayer. We don't leave our prayer here. We take it out there because we're broken. Broken for the use of Jesus and brought to the multitudes, or it would not have done any good. Then last of all, look what else happened. John chapter 6, verse number 12. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, garner up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled the 12 baskets of the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Imagine feeding 5,000 plus. Now, Jeannie, God bless her, wife of 51 years, doesn't like fish. I love it. And I don't know what kind of fish Jesus gave out to his disciples, okay, to give to the multitude. Mommy, I don't like my fish to be raw. Mommy, I like grilled fish. I like fried fish. I like fish and chips. I like Long John Silver's. I have no idea how Jesus handled that problem, all right? I am sure it may be like you've told your kids at home, shut up and eat what's put before you. It's gathered by Jesus. It's got to be good. Jeannie, it's going to be good when we get to heaven, I guarantee. You'll eat fish then, all right? But nevertheless, we find here that all the fish was distributed, 2 small fish and 5 barley loaves of bread. Reminds me of the song, Little as Much When God Is In It. Wow, isn't that beautiful? I mean, we think we have to have a lot. Oh, no, you don't have to have a lot. You just have to be broken. Broken, little as much when God is in it. And then we find here, he ordered the blessings to be given back to the giver. Kind of a boomerang blessing. Blessings that come back to us. When you give, you receive. That sounds strange. Yeah. If you want to receive from God, first you got to give. Doesn't sound like the way I'd work it out. Yeah, I know. But in order to receive, you first got to give. The Christian life does seem to be upside down, where God's ways seem to be upside down. For an example, in order to live, you got to die. In order to give, in order to receive, you got to give. To serve, in order to lead. And to bear the cross, in order to wear a crown. But wait a minute. That's not upside down thinking. That is God's ways. That's God's thinking. That's the way God works and operates. We're the ones who's upside down. We're the one who thinks the oddball way. We're the one who doesn't think right. God always thinks correctly. If you want to get, You got to give. You got to give. And if you want to be whole, if you want to be whole for God, you got to be broken. Broken. And then and only then will your life take on meaning. I close with this. God will bless clean vessels for His use. Confess your sins. Secondly, He wants us to be broken as His Son was, to be broken and to be used by God. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. There's the breakenness. There's the brokenness. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. In order to try to so-called imitate Jesus Christ, why not allow Him to live in you? It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. You've got to be broken. You've got to be broken till you're resistant. Oh, I don't want Jesus living in me. Oh, no. He might make me do something I don't want to do. He might have me go somewhere I don't want to go. You've got to be broken. You've got to be broken. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I let Him. I allow Him. I permit Him to see through me, hear through me, talk through me, walk with me. That is the so-called imitation of Christ in your life. It's not really an imitation. It's Christ Himself. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You also got to deny yourself daily. He wants us to deliver ourselves for others, and He will boomerang blessings right back. Hey, my friend, being broken is a win-win situation. Instead of struggling in this Christian life, it's a win-win situation. In order to be whole, you got to be broken. And then He will richly bless you and bring back the blessings that you've given out. Is every head bowed, every eye closed? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I have no idea what your needs are tonight. Have no idea what you're going through. Have no idea what resistance you may have. Have no idea what might be in your life that you're holding out on God, that you've got an excuse, you've got other reasons why you can't give wholly to Him. Don't know. It's not my job to know. Only God knows. I do know this. We've got to have ourselves broken. Like the fish and the bread, they would have done no good had they not been broken. You want to be blessed by God? You want to be whole? A whole Christian life? Holy? Then be broken. Father in heaven, I do pray that You'll speak to our hearts tonight and help us, Lord, to realize that what I've been stopping God to do, holding Him up, putting a hand in front of His face, saying no, 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 I need to submit. I need to be willing to deny myself and fall down on my knees and be broken for You. I pray that, Father, in order for us to understand the true blessings of the Christian life, help us to know we've got to be broken for Jesus. We thank You for that. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask and pray.